Salah. So there's obviously Chris Yamsu was one of the highest points in our history. One of the highest points in our history. And one of the pasukim that highlights this the most is the pasuk in Az Yashir. In Az Yashir, when Bnei Yisrael are singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all in unison, all together. It's also a miracle. They all sang together. The words just came to them, you know, almost like as an ace. And they're singing out the praises of Hashem. And a pasuk there that's one of the most important pasukim. It says, "Ze keli ve'enveyu." Right? Aziv is zimetka by he li lishua. Okay? My Hashem is my strength. And he is my savior. He was for me a savior. Ze keli ve'enveyu, which we'll leave untranslated for a moment. Elokei avi ve'aramenu, the God of my forefathers, of my father, and I will raise him up. Zekeli v'anveyu. What is Zekeli v'anveyu? Zekeli means this is my God. V'anveyu. V'anveyu is a word that has many different pshatim in the Mefarshim. That's what it could mean. But let's talk first a second about Zekeli. Zekeli means what? Ze in the Torah always means that it's you're seeing something so clear that you can point at it with a finger and you can say Ze. Ze. Tzadik gadol. You can say like... You can point to something, and say Zeh. Okay? There's many drushes in Chazal like this. Like, for example, last week's Parsha. Last week's Parsha began with what? What was the first thing? Not first thing, but we talked about it last week. What was the first mitzvah of the Torah? Achoresh HaZeh Lachem. Right? What's the Zeh there? What's Zeh? Ah, so it means that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the moon in the state when it is the new... When it's the Rosh Chodesh, right? And it's pristine state when it's in the, you know, the very beginning of its growth. Okay? Right? How does Rashi know that? Because it says Zeh means you can point to it. It's something that you see so clearly you can point to it. And it's many times in the Torah, if you pay attention, you'll see many places in the Torah, Rashi says, it means that Hashem showed him this. Because it means Zeh means that you can point to it. Zeh Keli. That means that Bnei Israel were able to say, by Yamsuf, Kriyas Yamsuf, Zekeli, this is my God. That means that it's such a clear vision, such a clear prophecy, that they were, it was as if, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a goof, and they weren't seeing a, you know, a body, but it means that they were so aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence at that moment that they were able to point to it and say, this is my God. It's from here that Chazal say that even the lowliest shivcha, even the lowliest person of Klal Yisrael, because everybody in Klal Yisrael is saying this shir together, even the lowliest person of Klal Yisrael at the Yam Suf had a greater vision, had a greater clarity of a Kodesh Baruch Hu than even the greatest of the Nevi'im, even Yechezkel ben Buzi, Yechezkel, the prophet Yechezkel. Even the whole Sefer of Yechezkel, he has prophecies as well, where he sees a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it's never Zeh, it's never as clear as this. It's always Ko Amar Hashem. This is like what Hashem said. It's never Zeh. Who is the only prophet that ever said Zeh? What? Moshe Rabbeinu. Only Moshe Rabbeinu is able to say Zeh. Nobody else is able to say Zeh. Because every day all the prophet is seeing things in a vision. It's a vision. It's images. Something is being shown to him and he has to interpret it. And that's why it's always Ko. Ko Amar Hashem. This is what Hashem said like. It's like what Hashem said. He doesn't know 100%. It's only Moshe Rabbeinu who says Zeh. And Bnei Israel here in Kriyas Yamsuf said Zeh Keli. They had such a clear vision, clearer vision than even Yechezkel. Okay, that's amazing. But what's Vanveu? What's the Vanveu here? What does Vanveu even mean? Right? It's a weird word. So Rashi quotes different pshatim. One of the pshatim is that the Gemara says Vanveu means noi. I want to make mitzvahs. I want to do my mitzvahs in a pleasant way, in a beautiful way. Okay? I will tell over Hashem's beauty and his praises to the world. I will make him beautiful, meaning I will make the mitzvahs, not mitzvahs, but I'll praise Hashem's name to people. I'll make Hashem's name beautiful to people. That's one pshat Rashi says. Similarly, the Gemara says that noy and neo means to make the mitzvos noy, make the mitzvos beautiful. Like the Gemara says, you should have a sefer Torah that's beautiful. You should have a talis that's beautiful. I don't know. Maybe different people have different things, but like, you know, when your talis gets to be a little yellow, you know, it's not so nice anymore. It's not zekeli ben veyu. The Gemara says talis noya. It should be a beautiful talis. Okay, it should be beautiful. So that's an idea that there should be hider mitzvahs. That all mitzvahs I do with hider. I do it beautifully. But there's another pshat, which is, Rashi quotes also, which is in the Unkelus. Unkelus says zekeli ben veyu. What does that mean? Dein elakai. This is my God. Ve'evne le mikdasha. What does that sound like? What does that mean? Evne le mikdasha. What does that mean? I will build Hashem a Beis HaMikdash. I will build a Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says, where does that come from? How does that come from the word noi? Andeil? It's not noi, it's nave. Nave means a house. Rashi quotes Pesukim. So Zekeli Vanveu means, this is my God, and I will make for him a nave. I'll make him a house. I'll make a Beis HaMikdash. Got to think to yourself, right? What on earth? You're in the middle of the Yam Suf. You're in the middle of Kriyas Yam Suf. This is what you're thinking about right now? You got walls of water on both sides. Okay, let's say you just passed through the Yam Suf. You passed through. Now you see the Egyptians are drowning over here, whatever. Now's the time to talk about Beis HaMikdash. They're not even going to have a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash for another. Okay, to Machlokas, exactly. When did they have it? Either before the Chet Egel or after the Chet Egel. But the Chora, that's like not right now the thing that needs to be talked about, right? Now I'm talking about building Beis HaMikdash. The other Peshan Rashi, I'm praising Hashem. Okay, praising Hashem, that makes sense. Why now am I talking about building Beis HaMikdash? And it's also later on. Also later on in the Shira. And later on in the Shira also we say that what? Not finding it now. Konanta, where is it? Okay, I'm not finding it at this moment. But there's another place also in the Shir where we talk about building the Beis HaMikdash. Why are we talking about the building the Beis HaMikdash in the middle of Kriyas Yam Suf, in the middle of leaving Mitzrayim? Why are we talking about that? Why is that relevant right now? So shout out like this, guys. And what does that do with Zekeli? Also. Oh, here. And in Pasuk Yedzayin, we say, Mikdash Hashem konanu yadecha. Mikdash Hashem, right? We're talking about Machon Meshivtecha. Okay. We're talking about building a home or a mikdash for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we talking about this over here? Why is that relevant right now to at the end of Kriyas Yam Suf? What's the relevance to Zekeli? So the answer is like this. When I get a vision, I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in my as clear as Klal Yisrael did at this moment. When they're able to say Zekeli Vaneu, I'm pointing to Kadosh Baruch Hu and I can say, this is Hashem. This is my God. There is no greater feeling than that. There is no greater feeling. That's the ultimate simcha. I'm getting a personal exposure to the creator of the world, to the ultimate power of the world, to my creator, to my God, the one who runs everything, who does everything in the world. And I'm seeing him our whole lives, guys, our whole lives, right? Yes, we believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we work on it, and we work on our emunah, and we try to see the world from that light. We're always striving to see more. We'd always love to see more of our Kadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. We'd love to see Hashem. That's like the ultimate paradox that any religious person has to go through. Lavdavka Judaism. You believe in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You believe in this ultimate power, but you don't have exposure. You're talking to him, and you don't know, you don't know if he's listening. You know he's listening. But we don't feel it, right? We're striving to always get to that. It's hard. That's hard. We're searching for Hashem in the dark. We know he's there, but we're searching. B'nai Israel got a moment. They had a moment when they saw clarity. They saw Hashem so clearly. They were able to say, Zeh Keli Vanbeu, this is my God. This is it right here. I'm feeling it. I see it. I need to keep this with me. How do I keep this with me? How am I able to harness this? I want to keep this forever. I'm not going to have this moment forever. I'm not going to have Zekeli Benveu forever. I know I'm not. Right now, I'm witnessing a tremendous miracle, and I'm seeing Kodesh Baruch Hu in ways I never was able to see before. How can I keep this forever? I want to keep this feeling forever. How can I do that? I'll build a Beis HaMikdash. What's a Beis HaMikdash? What's the idea of a Beis HaMikdash? A Beis HaMikdash is the place where Hashem's Shechina is felt the most. You walk into the Beis HaMikdash, your heart is pounding. You feel the Shechina is there. Tzvika Greenspan. You guys know Tzvika? Rav Tzvika sits all the way in the back, sometimes sits on the porch. He does a lot of tour groups with people that are completely unassociated, unaffiliated. Never had anything to do with Judaism, never. And they come to the old city, they want to do a tour, so he gives them a tour. He says he can't tell me the amount of times he's brought these people to the lookout overlooking the Kotel, and they just start breaking down and crying. They start crying. We're used to it. We sit here every day. We're sitting here. These people come. They've never been to the Kotel in their lives. They never had a religious moment in their lives. And they come, they see the Kotel, they start crying. What are they crying about? And you ask them, what are you crying about? And they can't explain it. There's a Shechina here. There's a Shechina that they've never felt before in their lives. Baruch Hashem, we feel it. We feel it. We're already used to it. The level that we have, we're already used to, Baruch Hashem. We're here every day. We're learning Torah. We're in a Beis Midrash. We, even before that in our lives, we were in shuls. We had Torah in our lives. We were exposed. So we don't feel it. But these people that never had a religious experience, never stepped foot in a shul, they come to the Kotel, they're overwhelmed from the Shechina. The Shechina is here. The Shechina is palpable. And the Beis HaMikdash, it was like a tremendous pumping station of Ruchnias. The Gemara talks about how when the Greeks, I think it was the Greeks said, anybody who goes into the Beis HaMikdash right now, after they conquer the Beis HaMikdash, that anyone who wants to go into the Beis HaMikdash and take something, they can take whatever they want. Go into the Beis HaMikdash, you take whatever you want. There's gold kalim in there. There's gold and silver. They just defeated the Jews. The Jews were just destroyed, a lot of them. And they said, I think it must have been the Romans. I don't remember. They said, anybody wants can go and take something from the Beis HaMikdash. They said it to the Jews. It's the ultimate degradation, right? Your own people are going to plunder you, right? That's the idea. So nobody was doing it. Nobody was willing to go in there. There was one guy who is so far gone that he was willing to go in. He's like, yeah, I'll go in. No problem. And he goes into the Beis HaMikdash to go steal from the Beis HaMikdash. That's the kind of person we're talking about. He went in and he took the golden menorah. The golden menorah. Takes the golden menorah out. He leaves the Beis HaMikdash. He goes out. And the Romans say to him, oh, come on. No. We didn't mean like that. You're taking the menorah. Like, that's like the huge, like, gold menorah. Like, you can't take that. That's the fit for a king. You're a little lonely nobody. Go and take a cup or a golden cup or something like that. That you're allowed to take. This you can't take. Go back in and take something else. And he said, no, I'm not going back in there. I'm not. I refuse. And they say, what do you mean? We're not letting you take that. Go take something else. So no, that's the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going to go plunder the Beis HaMikdash. And they tell him, what do you mean? You can get gold. You can get tons of stuff. Go and just, you just can't take that menorah, but you can take other things. There's no way. This is the Beis HaMikdash. This is the holiest place. I'm not going in and plundering the Beis HaMikdash. And that's already like turning the whole plan upside down, right? What was the whole plan? The whole point of what they were doing was to like show even the Jews don't care. All they care about the money. Just go and get the money, right? They don't care about the Kiddusha of the Beis HaMikdash itself, right? This is ruining their plan. That's what he's coming out. He's coming out and saying, no, I'm not going back in. I'm not going to plunder the Beis HaMikdash. So they got upset. So they said, if you don't go back in now and steal something else, we're going to kill you right now. He said, kill me. Go ahead. I'm not going in. I'm not going to steal something from the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is holy. And they killed him. They killed him. And it's a crazy story. The guy went in there to steal. That's why he went in there. That's why he went in the first place. He volunteered. They didn't force him. He volunteered. He said, yeah, I'll do it. Not only that, but he went to take something, the best thing that there is. What changed all of a sudden? The cat's explained. What changed is that he went into the Beis HaMikdash. That's what changed. He set foot into the Beis HaMikdash. The second you set foot in the Beis HaMikdash, you feel the Shekhinah. He felt the Shekhinah so strong, it made him into Baal Teshuva instantly. He came back out. He's like, no way I'm going back in there. This is my God. Zach Kaley. You think I'm going to go and steal from my God? He felt it. And Israel are saying, we want to keep this with us for the rest of our lives. We want to keep this feeling of the Kaddish Baruch Hu with us the rest of our lives. So we don't have necessarily a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have Zach Kaley. We don't have that. But we do have moments. We have moments when we see a Kaddish Baruch Hu in our life. We have moments of learning Torah when we feel really connected. We have moments when we go to shul. You're going to be in chutzlarts. You step into a shul. That's going into Kaddish Baruch Hu's home. You're in Hashem's home. This is the closest place. Cherish those moments. Keep those moments with you. Try to keep it with you as much as you can. Again, we're not going to build a Beis HaMikdash, but keep the moments with you. Keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Keep that feeling. Hold it with you as much as you can with whatever you do. Again, go into a shul. You go into a Beis HaMikdash. You learn something. Keep the Shekhinah with you. That's what we're learning here. We have the Zeh Keli. We're seeing the Zeh Keli in our lives all the time. We see it. We're exposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah all the time. Don't forget to do Vanveyu. Anveyu, keep it with you. Keep it strong. And Bezrat Hashem will be zocher to live life the way you live. Shabbat, guys.